in the coming year. You really want the favor of God. I do want the favor of God on my life. And how many of you want the blessings of God on your life in the coming year? Come on. Every one of us want the favor of God and the blessings of God on our life. I do. And if you don't, today you need to get refocused. Well, here's my next question. Are you willing to do? Listen, if you're listening, say amen. Are you willing to do what God calls you to do in order to get the favor of God and the blessings of God on your life? How many believe that you're able, with the Lord's help, to go from not enough, more than just enough, and yea, more than enough? Not enough, just enough, more than enough. Hey, listen. You know, we look back and see the faithfulness of God. We see that the Lord knows what needs we have. Do you believe, listen to me, do you believe that God, this coming year, 2019, if the Lord tarries, just a little over 24 hours from where we're standing right now, do you believe that God can bring the right kind of people in your life? Do you really believe that? Do you believe that God can get rid of the wrong kind of people in your life? How many of y'all right now, there's some people that the Lord might want you to kind of pray for, but you might have to kind of step away from, all right? Do you believe that God can bring, watch this, the resources that you need the coming year? Do you believe that? I do believe. Do you believe that God can bring healing to your body? Do you believe God can bring healing to those that you're praying for? Absolutely. Yes, do you believe God can save the lost? Absolutely. Speaking of favor and blessings of God, I got a text message Friday. You know what it said? It was from a brother I hadn't seen in quite a while. He said, Brother Randy, this is, and he named his name, I won't tell you who it is. He said, this is Brother so-and-so. And then he said, will you marry me? What? Will I marry you? No, I'm already married, all right? He didn't really mean it like that, but it sounded like that. You know, some people shorten their text message. Will you marry me? I said, brother, I'm already happily married. No thanks. But I did say, yes, I will. And anyway, got that lined up for a little bit later, a few weeks from now. The favor of God. I want to preach today on the subject, filled with favor and God's blessing. Filled with favor and blessings. Filled with favor and God's blessing. I want to tell you something. It doesn't come automatically. The favor of God doesn't come automatically. I mean, it's just not snap our fingers, all right, now I want your blessings, God, now I want your favor. Oh, no. And there are going to be five needs as we go into message today. Five needs. May I put it this way? Five absolute needs that you have and I have for the coming year. Five absolute needs that you have and I have for the coming year. And listen, beloved, we can all pray for these five needs today. Yes, we can. And I'm going to, because I'm convinced every one of us in this place have these five absolute needs, not only today, but particularly in the coming year. Last Sunday night, we went out Christmas caroling, sharing the love of Christ in our community. We went to the nursing home. I talked with one of our young men. He's recently been saved and baptized. You know Chase. He's recently been saved and baptized. And he wouldn't mind me sharing this, I don't think. I said to him, how you doing? What you going to do for Christmas time? This was last Sunday night. He said, I got to work. I said, what? He said, I got to work. And he said, it's the first time ever in Christmas Day I've had to work. He said, I'm really having a hard time with it. And I tried to encourage him a little bit and said, hey, it'll be all right, my brother. Just do what you got to do and with a good attitude. And how many know that character counts? Amen. Sometimes doing what you don't want to do and yet doing it with a good attitude, my God bless us that. Well, Christmas Day, the Lord put in my heart. I decided to go see him on Christmas Day. Went down to Larry's four-way on Christmas Day. Why? Because he's working. Why? Just to try to encourage him. Why? I saw him in the cooler, and I said, listen, I don't want to keep you from your work right now, but can you take a break in a moment? You got a break time? And so he said, sure. He stepped out of the cooler, and he and I stood there in Larry's foyer and talked for just a few minutes. And then we prayed. Why? To try to be a blessing. Why? I tried to, with the help of the Lord, to encourage him that character counts, and God's favor matters. Oh, yes, it does. And that's why I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Find Ephesians chapter 3. Five absolute needs that you and I have today and furthermore in the coming year. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at it, please. And keep your Bibles open to Ephesians 3. Why? Because all five of these elements, the Lord spoke to me. Let's see, what day was it? It was on Monday of this past week. I began to seek the Lord and say, God, what do you have us to look at in the coming year? And it was Monday the Lord began to birth this message on my heart. In Ephesians chapter 3, it's a wonderful prayer by the Apostle Paul. And you're very familiar with the book of Ephesians, this prison epistle. You're familiar with how Paul established and founded this church. And I had the privilege of going to the archaeological remains of Ephesus in modern-day, present-day Turkey. And yet, you can find the origin of the founding of this church in the book of Acts chapter 19. And so, Paul is writing to this church and to us today, and here's what he's saying. Jesus Christ, we've been chosen in Him. We've been blessed in all spiritual blessings in Him. We've been seated with Him in heavenly places. We've been adopted in the family of God. We've been redeemed by His precious blood. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. In other words, he's saying in chapter 1 and 2, look what we have in Jesus, our wealth. But he says chapter 2, 3, and 4, I'm sorry, chapter 3 and 4 and 5, not only our wealth, but our walk in Christ because of who we are in Him. This is the way we ought to live. And that brings us to chapter 6, the warfare element. But for today, we're going to go back to chapter 3, and there's a wonderful prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesian believers and for us. And by the way, you can pray this prayer for those sitting next to you today and your family today. I'm certainly going to make it a prayer. Ephesians chapter 3, if you'd like to stand as we read. Just a few verses from Ephesians 3. Namely, we're going to look at verse 14 where Paul picks up this prayer. Look at verse 14 and following. Here we go. Verse 14. If you're there, say amen. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I like this next part. Underline verse 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. Notice he says, verse 16, that he who, that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And other passages in Ephesians, he says the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory. Look what he says. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I say, yes, Lord, I'm going to need it the coming year. Verse 17, that Christ might dwell in your hearts. How? Yes, by faith. Very good. That Christ might dwell. The word dwell is the word oikos, be at home. That Christ, is Christ dwelling in your hearts today? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. I didn't see him die. You didn't see him die. I wasn't there when he arose. But by faith, I believe and trust him. By faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice verse 17 again. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Is he there dwelling in your heart today by faith? And that you may be rooted and grounded in what? Love. Very good. That you may be able to comprehend or understand with all the saints. The word saints is the word hagios. It means those that are set apart. With all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? Yes, everything. And to know the love of Christ. Gnosko, to experience. That's what it means to know, not just head knowledge, but experiential. To know the love of Christ, which passes. It supersedes. It goes beyond. It passes all knowledge. That you might be filled. I love this part. Fill with all the fullness of God. And that word fill is the word pleroma, where we get our word totality. That we might be filled with the totality of God Himself. Yes, Emmanuel with us. Now look at verse 20. Now to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the dunamis, the dynamite, the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And all the children of God said, amen. Father, thank you. The word of God is alive and you're alive. And I thank you, even though it may be clouded today, the sun is shining in our hearts. Because you've redeemed us by your blood. You've conquered the grave. You've ascended on high. You are on your throne. And you're ruling and reigning. And yet, Lord, things are out of our control. But they're under your control. I pray, dear God, for your favor to rain down on your people this coming year. If you tarry. And the blessings from heaven. Lord, we know it's not automatic. I know the sun does shine, Father, as you told us, on the just and the unjust. And Lord, I know that a rain falls on the just and the unjust. But there's that extra blessings that come from only you, Lord. The peace that money can't buy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. And love unsearchable and indescribable and unfathomable in our Lord Jesus, how you extended that love, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for me. And yet, Lord, you've got a great love for this world. I pray that you'll make us all that we need to be in these coming days, and there'll be fresh anointing and fresh oil on the body of Christ and on every blood-bought, blood-washed child of God today. Bind the wicked spirits of the evil one from every one of us, dear Lord, and release your mighty power in us and through us. Help us to yield and come under our God and submit to your authority and the word of God. Forgive me, Lord, and forgive us of whining and complaining and be critical and judgmental. And Lord, the sins of omission and sins of commission, and we thank you now. Lord, lead us home to victory in the coming year. And help us, Lord, to give you the glory because you are worthy of it. And we ask this as you lift up hearts today and as you breathe life into us today and as you strengthen us in the inner man today and as you fill us with faith, hope, and love today and as you send us out as salt and light in a dark and a dying and a desperate world that we might shine the good news. God, get us out of the despondency and the cesspool of self and pleasing self. Give us grace to turn our eyes to the hills. Give us grace, our Lord, to take our hands off our life and say, not I, but Christ lives in me now. Jesus, take control. Jesus, break the yoke of the enemy and be released in our mortal being. And we thank you now for victory in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here's five steps. Five. Watch this. Here's what I'm praying for you this coming year. Notice. Here's what I'm praying. A new year. You crown the year with your goodness and your past drip with abundance. Psalm 65 and 11. Happy new year. Yes, it's not happy without the Lord. How many know that when you're in the old world, you look for happiness? Unfortunately, people think that they got to have a buzz or they got to get drunk or try to drink something or smoke something or take something in order to be happy. I'm glad, praise God, that happiness, real happiness, comes in your sins being forgiven and being in a right relationship with God. Don't buy into the lies of the enemy. The world makes you think that happy new year, that I've got to drink and carouse and live like the world. And that brings happiness. Unfortunately, the next day, there is the reality of life staring you in the face, and all you've done was escape it temporarily, but the bottom line is you have to deal with it. You might as well deal with it now and stand in faith and believe God in faith because, praise God, Jesus said, I'll be with you always. And watch this. Praying God gives you a year of favor full of his unlending love. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. I don't know any other message that ought to be encouraging than this. Certainly it's encouraged my heart. Here's where we're going. These five, watch, five absolute needs you've got in your life and I've got in my life. All of them are derived from the text. The Lord gave me this as I was thinking. And we go from Ephesians 3, verse 16 through verse 21, primarily verse 19 and 20 are the text. Here are the five absolutes. Number one, how many believe that number one, we're all going to need, watch this, grace for the race. I said grace for the race. Notice what he says in Ephesians 3 and 16, that he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory. And no wonder he said the riches of his grace in Ephesians 1, 7. And so we need grace for the race. How many know we're in a race? Yes, we are. We're in a race against time, in a sense. We're running the race of holiness. We're fighting the good fight of faith. But secondly, there's a second absolute need. Every one of us have this need. You're going to have this need in 2019. So you might as well say, dear God, today, and make a fresh and a new surrender of your heart and a prayer to God, lest you be caught off guard. Yes, number two, not only are we going to need grace for the race, number two, we're going to need strength for the journey. I said, we're going to need strength for the journey. I guarantee you, there's going to be hardships. There are going to be challenges. It's not going to be all downhill. There'll be times when we got to go uphill. Amen. There'll be times when our strength goes waning. There'll be times when we'll say, God, I can't carry on except you pour in the strength from the Son of God. We'll see that in a moment. No wonder Paul said that you might be strengthened by his might in the inner man. There's that word strength. You might be strengthened by his might in the inner man. That's verse 16. There's a third absolute need that you've got and I've got as we look toward the coming of the new year. It's not only the grace for the race and not only strength for the journey. Number three. Oh, yes. We're going to need, watch this. We're going to need faith that moves mountains. You're going to need some faith, and I'm going to need some faith that moves some mountains. How many believe that? Whether you believe it or not, I'm telling you, you're going to face some mountains, and I'm going to face some mountains, and we're going to face some challenges in the coming year. And therefore, today, may I suggest to you that right this day, today's the 30th. Yeah, that's right. Hello. The 30th. Yes. God, I'm not going to wait till after the middle of January and wake up because it's a new year. I'm going to wake up right now. I'm going to cooperate with you. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all do you, this time of the year, I know I used to not do this, but for some reason now, maybe for various reasons, I begin to think if the Lord tarries 2019, have you got any goals for 2019? Anybody? Have you set any goals for 2019? God-given goals. I didn't say resolutions. I said God-given goals. If you hadn't, why not? You're just going to go in the year and play it by ear and, you know, knee-jerk response. Whatever comes my way, I'm just going to respond to it. That's not proactive. That's passive. That's passivity. Just to react to what happens. Oh, no. I believe the Lord has us, and as a child of God, begin to prayerfully consider what the Lord wants to do in our life and line up under that. Can I get an amen? Are you going to do it? Have you done it? Are you praying about it? Will you do it right now? Hey, number three, faith that moves mountains. You're going to need some faith, beloved. I don't know, watch this, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. Yes, I don't know what tomorrow may bring, but praise God, no matter what tomorrow may bring, we can trust Jesus. Do you believe that? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If you believe it, you ought to say so. Don't just say, well, I think intellectually, but I'm really processing it, and I'm not really sure because if something happens to me that's not, you know, good, then I'm going to fall back in my despair and my mud puddle of doubt and fear. So go ahead and just cross that bridge right now and go ahead and just say, God, I'm not going to let the enemy win. But number four, there's a fourth absolute need that you and I have for the coming year. What is it? Not only grace for the race, not only strength for the journey, not only faith that moves mountains. By the way, Paul said this, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. See that? Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. It's derived from the text right here. And number four, watch this. You know what it is. What is it? Somebody tell me. Very good. Love. What's that board say? Look over at the board. What does the board say? What's that board say? Right up there. Ronnie did a great job with it. Somebody say amen. I said, Ronnie did a great job with the board. We appreciate it, Ronnie. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Ronnie, for building that board. Amen and amen and amen. A tremendous job. Y'all need to go over and look at it. That don't take 5 minutes. It took a little while. What's it say on the board? That's what it says right here. Love unleashed. Where do I get that from? Ephesians 3:18. Look what he says. Paul says this, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and notice, he says the depth and the length, the breadth, the height, and to know what? Verse 19. To know what? To know the love of Christ. Yes, I want to know the love of Christ, but watch this. How many would say to me today, I want to know it, but I want others to know this love too. If you don't want others to know it, you're backslidden from God. And you know what? Listen to me. I say this in love. You know, Pastor. I know sometimes I would rather not have to say things, but God puts them on my heart. And I'm preaching to myself, keep in mind. But some of us have gotten complacent, hadn't we? Holidays. You just kind of got lethargic. Spiritually, not hungry. By the way, when you come to church, and if you don't get anything out of church, it's because you've been feeding on the sweets of the world all week long and you're not hungry. Somebody says, I don't get anything out of church. You know why? Because you've been in the world all week long and you've been feeding on the sweets. You know when your mama used to fix a good meal and she'd come to the table, Thanksgiving or Christmas, and then you just pick over it, you wouldn't eat it? Mama would say, you've been eating some sweets before you got to the table. She knew what was wrong. That's the way it is in church. You've been feeding on the sweets all week long and feeding your mind on the world's sweets. No wonder you're not hungry when you come to church. But those that are hungry for the Lord love the Word of God. Many of you do, and I praise the Lord. But that could be one reason why you don't get anything out of church. It's because you've been feeding the sweets of this world. But, oh, brother, the table's going to be set. It's set. And God says, come and dine. And the Lord says, you can come and dine if you want to. Hey, look, you're going to get out of church what you put into it. You go to the grocery store and you don't plan to pick up anything, but you push a buggy around, you don't get anything at all. Why? Because you didn't go to get anything, or you didn't get anything while you were there. It's going to be here. You got to get it. By the way, let me say this. I love you. You know I do. But I'm preaching myself. Some of you, if God showed up on the front row, you'd miss him. You'd miss him. We miss God all the time. We miss God. We come to church and we think, well, if this doesn't happen, if that doesn't happen, if this doesn't, and I didn't see this and I didn't see that, we miss God. Can I tell you an example of how we miss God? When God begins to deal with somebody, and you're more concerned about getting out than you are that person being saved or that person coming to Jesus. Happened just a couple of weeks ago. A family was kind of broken. I'm not going to tell you who the family was. The family was kind of broken. One of the family members moved out of the home. And they weren't speaking. It was real problem, okay? It was trouble, all right? I didn't know, but God knew. And God put a message in my heart. I am feeble and unworthy as I am. I preached the message, and it, woo, hit home. Man, I just love God. I love the Lord. The Lord knows our needs, you know what? It hit home. It was exactly what needed to be said. My God's alive. You believe that? And today, the message the Lord's got on my heart, I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm just saying, is preparation. The Lord's preparing us for things to come in the coming year. You'll look back on this and say, you know what? God, I knew I'd need strength, but I didn't pray for strength that day that I was at church, and I should have, because now all of a sudden I need strength. Maybe I'll call my Sunday school teacher, call my pastor. I need strength right now. Instead of you getting strength right now. Hey, look, that family, you know what? I want to know what happened that day? I'll tell you what happened that day. God showed up and showed out. Many people didn't even know it. And there was reconciliation, there were tears, there was healing took place. Half the people didn't even know what was going on. God shows up and we don't even recognize it. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? For God to show up in your Sunday school class and you don't even recognize it. My, that makes me backpedal and say, dear God, help me to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Help me to know when you're manifesting your glory. I know God's in us, but God manifests his glory too. And then God, the Holy Spirit, begins to deal with people, bring them under conviction, and begin to bring healing in their life. And by the way, watch this. How many believe that when we're praying here in the church at New Rocky Creek, 190 Rocky Creek Road, that God is not confined right here. God can work yonder ways as we're praying for God to work.
That ought to give you some faith.
That ought to say, Lord, why am I limiting you? Why am I putting you in a box? My prayer's in a box, but really my prayer's up the throne of grace. Hey, look, number four, number five, love unleashed. Number five, power for the hour. Look at verse 20. Now to him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, power for the hour. Let me tell you, number one, I've got to hasten. Number one. Grace for the race. Are you in this race? How many of y'all are in this race? Let me see your hand. Some of you need to get in the race. You hadn't been in the race. You hadn't been running. You've been running from God instead of running to God. Why? But you're here today and you can run to God today. There's some sins that need to be confessed, aren't there? There's some things that you've been slipping a little bit here and there. And you're not as close to God as you want to be. Well, that's why you came to church. Hey, look, I didn't come to church to play church. I didn't come to church to pretend like things. I came to church to meet with my Lord and to do business with God and to be changed and to be transformed in His image. Hey, look, grace for the race. Are you in this race? You got to get in this race. You know when it started for me? The race started back in 1982. There were some things I had to turn from and turn to. I wasn't happy. Some of you aren't happy. You've tried this, you've tried this. You're not going to be happy looking at the world and thinking the world, you can milk the world all you want to. You can milk it and all the corporate world and all the money in the world. Solomon learned that. All the sex in the world, all the women in the world, all the money in the world, all the power in the world and prestige. You'll still come up empty. Knowing God and having Him be known. You're empty today, aren't you? You're depressed today, aren't you? You're lonely today, aren't you? You're searching for another answer, aren't you? It's Jesus. And you're going to run all your life and run here and there and think that this is, oh, if I could just find the right boy, if I could just find the right girl, if I could just find the right husband, if I could just find the right wife, if I could just find the right children, if I could just find the right job, if I just got out of debt, and if I could just get a new car, and if I just had a new house, and if my leg didn't hurt, and my back, all these cannot, you know, they are needs, but wait a minute. When it comes to the end of life, you know what's going to matter? When it comes to the end of your life, you know what's going to matter? It's going to be between you and God. God's not going to say, how much money did you make here on earth? God's not going to say, where'd you live and what kind of car you drove? Nothing wrong with all those things. But watch, grace for the race. We got to get in the race. Some of you today aren't in the race. You need to get in the race. Some of you are sitting on the sideline. You're watching everybody else running the race saying, go, go, go. Or look at him. He fell down. Ha, they tripped. Yeah, there's a lot of critics out there. There's a lot of judgmental people that would love to see Christians trip and fall. They go down that church and they act like they're religious, but look at them now. They're going through all this hardship. And some of you are right there right now being a critic. I want to tell you something. You're not going to have to answer the person running the race. You're going to have to answer God. We must all appear before the Lord. Run the race. But wait a minute, there's some of us today that got tripped up. You've been running and now you're tripping. Have you ever been in a race and tripped? Have you ever been in a race and looked around at everybody around you and you lose sight of where you're going? Some of you right there right now, you're looking around saying, well, what about him and where they're at and what's going on with them and why is this? And you're losing the race. Why? Because you got your eyes in the wrong place. Grace is in place for the race. We can run the race. We get in the race by faith alone and Christ alone. The Hebrew writer said it this way, whom I believe was Paul. Wherefore, seeing we also accomplished about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run the race with patience, looking to Jesus. Tell me, are you looking to Jesus today? Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. Speaking of race, I got a gift this Christmas. I was visiting a lady, and this lady had cancer. This lady, 58 years old, I was with her less than 24 hours before she went to be with the Lord. The Lord put it in my heart to visit her and to talk with her about her eternal destiny. Here's what she said. She said, Brother Pastor, I've got it in a note. I've read the note to you. This life is not the most important thing, but eternal life is the most important thing. Life with God. She said, I'm looking forward to going to heaven.
with Jesus.
This lady passed away in October. But you know what she did? She was running the race. You know what she did? It's a blessing. She, out of her graciousness of her heart, she decided to get a gift for me and Deanna. She had it wrapped up. She said, "Pastor, I don't know if I'll make it to Christmas, but I want to give you the gift in case I'm not here." I opened up the gift on Christmas. How many know this was a super blessing to me? It's got a little light in it. It's a lighthouse. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. John 8:12. Isn't that a blessing? A person you know that's with the Lord now in heaven, yet was thinking ahead to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I cherish this gift. I'm going to keep this gift. And every time I look at this gift, you know what I'm going to think about? I'm going to think about Dawn, Becky Henderson's daughter. She was running the race. She's at the end of her race. She's in heaven now. Where are you at in this race? Grace for the race, number one. Number two, strength for the journey. Notice what Paul said, that he might strengthen us by his might in the inner man. That's Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 16. Grace for the race, one. And then notice strength for the journey, that he might strengthen us by his might in the inner man. I love this little quote right here. Notice on the board. Don't worry that you're not strong enough before you begin. It is in the journey that God makes you strong. Isn't that good? And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul. Strength for the journey. Strength for the journey. I was at the hospital not long ago. A lady had surgery. It was last week. And she said to me, she said, "Brother Randy," she said, "I'm wondering when I'm going to get to go back to work." And I said, the Lord moved in my heart. I said, "Just one day at a time. One day at a time." Say that with me. Just one day at a time. Take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient is the day thereof. And that does not negate the fact we should not pray. And that, by the way, balances off with being content. As Paul said, that doesn't mean we should be discontent in the Lord, but there are things that God wants to do in our life that we ought to trust God, and we ought to be stretched, and we ought to be usable, yea, more usable for the Lord. Strength for the journey, one day at a time. And you know what that lady said when I said one day at a time? What would you have said? What comes after one day at a time? Sweet Jesus. Say it with me. Sweet Jesus. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's the way it is. Now today, you've been anxious and you've been worried. I can look at your face and tell you're stressed to the max. And I get stressed to the max over things about tomorrow. Well, what am I going to do tomorrow? And what if my job doesn't last all this? And what if my income, and what if I have problems? And what if something happens to me physically? And what if my parents, and what about this, and what about this? Well, strength for the journey. Can I tell you what happened to me last week? I went to a place to meet with our men. Brother Curtis can verify. I went to Social Circle, preached the Word of God, and the privilege it is, and then met with some of our men up in Covington, a time of discipleship, a time of fellowship. Curtis was there. Several other men were there, and we sat down. Well, there was a lady that joined us at the table. And you know what this lady began to tell me? She said, "Pastor, I'm having a rough time. I'm talking about strength for the journey." I said, "What kind of time are you having?" She said, now watch this. She said, "A year ago, my son died. This is the first Christmas I've had without my son. 48 years old. She said, he OD'd. Somebody put some fentanyl into something he had. He wasn't doing right. She said, I believe he was a Christian, but he OD'd and he died. This is the first Christmas I've spent without my son." She said, "I could not stand the thought of being by myself." She said, "I want to be around some other people." How many know people are very, very sad this time of the year? It's a great opportunity to minister. It's a great opportunity to share the love of Christ. It's a great opportunity to write a card. It's a great opportunity to encourage somebody. And then she said this. She said, Pastor, I believe that God's left me here. But wait a minute. Before I finish that sentence, put parentheses right there. I got to tell you parentheses. She's taking dialysis 3 times a week, 4 hours a day. How old is this lady? She's not 95. She's 62. Dialysis, 3 days a week. How many of you ever had dialysis? Anybody? How many know that it's not a walk in the park? She's had it now for 5 years, dialysis. She said this to me. She said, Pastor, she pulled down her arm. Her arm looked like it had a knot on it about 7 inches. She said, this is what's happened. She said, I'm not complaining, Pastor. I believe God has left me here to raise my grandchildren. She had a grandchild with her, 12 years old. He sat there at the table with us. Straight for the journey. You say, but brother pastor, and by the way, she's waiting on a kidney transplant. She's hoping to have a kidney transplant. Straight for the journey. You say, but pastor, I'm not going through all that. I know, but you can be a blessing to somebody that is. And you want a blessing, you start being a blessing. You want somebody to be encouraging to you, you start encouraging somebody else. You feel like you're not loved, start loving somebody else. Give and it should be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shoved in, given to your bosom. Strength for the journey. Number 3, I believe we're going to pray for faith that moves mountains. Faith that moves mountains. I want to ask you a question. Has any of you ever heard, I don't know if you've ever heard of this or not. I've not heard of it. Foam faith. F-O-A-M, foam's faith. Anybody ever heard of foam's faith? I'd never heard of it. Matter of fact, I made it up, okay, this week. Can I make up stuff as I go along? Foam's faith. You know what foam's faith is? F-O-A-M-S. Faith of a mustard. You got it. God, give us faith of a mustard seed. Lord, we're going to need faith for the coming year, right? We're going to need faith. Faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's what we need, Lord. We need that kind of faith that says, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. How many know that you're going to need some real extraordinary faith in the coming year? Come on, y'all, talk to me. Am I preaching to myself? Come on, y'all, talk to me. We're going to need some faith. I'm telling you, we need some great faith in Jesus. You want to please him? He said to that woman in Matthew chapter 15, woman, I've not seen so great a faith nor in all of Israel. She said, even the dogs feed off the crumbs that fall from the master's table. No wonder the Lord answered her prayer. No wonder Jesus said to the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, he said, you don't even have to come to my house. Speak the word and my servant will be healed. Wow, Jesus said, I've not found so great a faith. How big is your faith? And by the way, where are the works? Show me your faith, then tell me where your works are. You don't have any works, you don't have any faith. Because we're not saved by works, but if you are saved, there are going to be some works. Yes, there is. So, what about it? I want to tell you all something. Last week, a week ago. Now, this might not mean anything to you, but it sure meant something to me. My computer, I was down here at church, fixed it up, got this for last week, PowerPoint developed and so forth. That's how I felt, whatever that said. Anyway, hey, my computer crashed. How many know what crash means? I put it this way, it ain't good. It wasn't good. Now, I don't know if you've worked on your computer for years. I know some of you have. You got a lot of information then. I'll just put it this way. You ever seen a grown man cry? I'm telling you, man, that thing crashed. And I just wonder, it wouldn't do anything. I got 3 emails. 3, not 1, not 2, but 3. And I can't keep up with all the passwords. Somebody say amen. I got a password for this. I got a password to go to church. Amen. Anyway, but I took the thing to the shop. What else do you do? He said, it's the hard drive. I said, well, bless the Lord. What is a hard drive? He said, man, this way that thing works. The way he understood it, he told me, he said, the way that thing works is that thing spins around with RPM. We're familiar with that term, aren't we? Revolution per minute. Isn't that what it means? Yeah. It spins around so fast, and then it's got a little needle that reads it. Best way I can understand in layman's terms. It spins so fast, it's down in the computer, and it's called a hard drive. And it spins so fast, and it's got a little needle. And you know what he told me? He said, now some of you can relate to this. How many remember those days of records? Anybody remember the 33? And remember the 78? Y'all remember that? I remember growing up with the records, 33 and 78. Some of y'all aren't old enough, but anyway, some of you are. How many remember getting that needle and you didn't really want to listen to that song, but you want to skip it over and go to another, and you scratch the record. And what it do when you scratch the record? Sing the same thing over and over again. I don't want to hear the same thing over and over again. And so I don't understand how that thing works, but I know this. It got scratched somehow or it messed up somehow, and so it got another one. But this is what he told me. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that thing out. He said, I said, is it fixable? He said, yeah, it can be fixed. It's not it happens all the time. Really? Well, I'm glad to know that. But I said, but wait a minute, I got a lot of information in it. Now, I know what you're thinking. Those of you that are computer geeks, you say, but Pastor, didn't you back up some of your information? I'm learning. And the answer is yes, most of it, all right? But I said, can you save it? He said, this is what we'll do. Have you ever heard this term? You computer whizzes know what I'm talking about. You know how they do it? They use a word called clone. Have you ever heard that word, clone? They clone stuff off your old one, and then they clone it onto your new one. I got to thinking of it. You say, Pastor, why are you telling us all that? This is what I'm telling you, all that. I got to thinking about that. Isn't that like the Christian life? Dear Jesus, I need you to be cloned in my life. Oh, God, I can't have faith in you except for you impart to me faith that was delivered unto the saints. Paul put it this way, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me now. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, listen, the Christian life is an exchange life. It's the clone life of Christ in me. It's the clone life of the Holy Spirit in me, right? My doubt for his faith, my hate for his love, my works for his grace, my sins for his death, my death for his life. Did you get that? It's an exchange life. That's the Christian life. It's not me apart from Christ. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's the vine. I'm the branch. And as he expresses his life in me, I abide in the vine. And it's not me working for God. It's God working through me. Hey, look, the coming year, we're going to need some mighty mountain-moving faith. We're going to need it. But wait a minute. Number four, we're going to need a absolute need, love to be unleashed. There's probably somebody in your life right now that you really don't like. You really don't care about. You really kind of have a bad attitude about them. Love unleashed. We're praying for not only the love of God to be unleashed in our heart, but for us to release that love, the love of Christ. Yes, the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. Look what he says. Paul said this in Ephesians 3, the same text we were reading. Look what he says in verse number 19. And to know the love of Christ. Maybe somebody you needs to know that love, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and then not only to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, but that you might be noticed, that you might be filled with the power of God. Last but not least, power for the hour. And that's what we're going to pray tonight, this love unleashed in our heart. I know we're busy. I know we got a lot of things going on. But I want to be about the Master's business. I want 2019 to make a difference. I just don't want to occupy space. Power for the hour. Look at verse 20. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly. I love that. Exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to his power that worketh in us. Let me summarize. Five absolute needs that you have and I have for the coming year. One, grace for the race. Two, strength for the journey. Three, faith that moves mountains. Four, love unleashed. Five, power for the hour. Every one of us had those absolute needs in our life for the coming year. And the church said, amen and amen. Now, we opened the box. We got our prayer cards. And some of you got a card in your hand right now. I've got some prayers on my heart as we stand to our feet.